Hello, Courtney. Wow, you look different. You're wearing Afro Puffs today.
Is not Courtney, it is I, Brittany King, and my Afro Puff.
Our resident hope dealer.
Yes, people and talent manager and hope dealer of our tribe.
All right. So we are podcasting today instead of Courtney, who is busy helping multiple clients, I understand.
Yes, yes.
Courtney stays busy. So who do we have today, though, actually? We have somebody really cool today, I remember.
We have someone who is the standard of cool, Hannah Olson with Chronically Capable. This one's going to be so good, Jim. Oh my gosh.
I've heard of her. She's so cool. She sweats ice cubes.
Super cool.
Let's see what her bio says about her. Hannah Olson is the founder and CEO of Chronically Capable, a digital talent marketplace that connects chronically ill and disabled job seekers to flexible job opportunities. Hannah's own experience navigating the career while undergoing intensive treatment for Lyme disease sparked the idea for her company, which was founded in May 2019. Hannah is known globally to her for her invisible disability advocacy and was recently named Top 100 Powerful Women of 2020 by Entrepreneur Magazines. Ooh, I'm getting
I bet she was number
goosebumps.
one. Bet she was number one.
I bet she is. She's definitely number one here.
Yes.
And dear listener, you'll be able to hear her number one responses right after this. You are listening to Tribe Pod, a podcast series of interviews of interest to the HR community. It is hosted by Courtney Lane, produced by Jim Stroud, sponsored by Proactive Talent, and enjoyed by you. Today's episode begins right after this.
On-demand recruiting is an hourly service that we offer where our recruiters work as an extension of your business, helping to fill your positions by finding top talent.
So on-demand recruiting is there to address issues in hiring when a company is experiencing a lot of growth, when they're having some seasonality changes where they may temporarily need to expand their recruiting team. You maybe have a new line of business or a space where you're expanding your business and you need to bring in specialty expertise to help fill those niche roles that your internal team may not yet be ramped up on.
Proactive Talent's on-demand recruiting solution is quite different from a lot of the other models that you're going to see in the workplace. Whereas you're going to pay a contingency recruiting firm, typically on average around 20%, sometimes up to 30% of the first year salary of the person that you hire. And in that same period of time, you'll spend less than a quarter of that with Proactive Talent's managed on-demand.
For more information on Proactive Talent, visit them online at proactivetalent.com or click the link in the podcast description.
On this episode of Tribe Pod, you get me, Brittany King, People and Talent Manager for Proactive Talent. I am also the resident hope dealer here, making sure that the experiences of our tribe are amazing. I'm super excited for the guest we have on the Tribe Pod today, a phenomenal human being who is changing the world, one chronically capable person at a time. Her name is Hannah Olson. She's the founder and CEO of Chronically Capable, a digital talent marketplace that connects chronically ill and disabled job seekers to flexible job opportunities. Hannah's own experience navigating her career while undergoing intensive treatment for Lyme disease sparked the idea for her company, which was founded in May 2019. Hannah is known globally for her invisible disability advocacy and was recently named Top 100 Powerful Women of 2020 by Entrepreneur Magazine. Thank you so much for being here, Hannah. We are so excited to have you.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me join.
Absolutely. I'd like to kick it off by just you giving a bit of information, and we'll talk a little bit more deeply about Chronically Capable, its mission and things of that nature. But I'd love to hear from you, Hannah, kind of what led you to this point, perhaps speak about what career you were in and what really brought you to the place of understanding that a new organization needed to be started.
Absolutely. So I, you know, when I graduated from college, I was, like most of my peers, very determined to, you know, secure a full-time employment. And I luckily got a job in marketing down in Washington, D.C. I got it the summer after graduating. But in that same summer, I also had a PICC line placed in my arm, which for those of you who aren't familiar with, a PICC line is a peripherally inserted central catheter. It's essentially a permanent IV. And I was hooked up to this IV for about 8 hours a day, to IV antibiotics and giving myself this medication. And so I moved down to DC with the PICC line in one arm and, you know, determined as ever, but I chose not to tell my boss about this PICC line prior to accepting the job because I didn't know that I was supposed to. And I didn't know how to or when that conversation would best be brought up. And so I chose to stay silent. And, you know, unfortunately, I didn't end up in an organization that was supportive of those living with illness. My boss at the time didn't actually allow me to do this at my desk. And this was a marketing creative company, but a smaller organization. And so I think, you know, didn't have the necessary knowledge of inclusion. And so I reached a tipping point about 8 months into the job of having to constantly choose between my health and the work that I was really passionate about. And I thought, well, this doesn't make sense. And I can't be the only one going through this. And soon to find out, I clearly wasn't. And I started to really see the depth of chronic illness and invisible disability in the United States and even, you know, on a global scale as well, but particularly in the US, knowing that 60% of the population was living with an illness, I was just mind blown. And I thought, you know, that's most people. That's more than half of our population. And adding on top of that, those living with disabilities. And 70% of these were invisible. And so I thought, you know, well, most of these aren't things that you can see. And so these are people probably in my organizations and, you know, in companies today in job titles who are just not saying anything about this. And so, you know, from that experience, I just saw firsthand that the disconnect between employers and job seekers who are looking to find these inclusive organizations. And so that's really what sparked the idea. And, you know, today continues to be core to why we do what we do at Chronic Capable.
I love that. And I think this, you know, this organization, what you're doing for people in the US, strikes a chord with me as someone who is chronically capable. We have a shared experience as it relates to having an employer who just didn't understand. If you spend any amount of time looking at me online, I'm very vocal about my cancer treatment journey, very well acquainted with the PICC line. So I totally understand. And I think what you're doing here is so important, not just for job seekers, but also for employers. Because as someone who sits in the HR function, I do think there are those of us who are a little cautious about how we handle these situations by design, but also there's a lack of knowledge and understanding around the fact that just because I have this disability or this illness does not mean that I am not capable and that I am not a value add to your organization. So I'd love for you to talk about just a little bit about how you partner with employers through Chronically Capable, but also how you partner with job seekers to help make there be synergies between the two.
Absolutely. And I apologize if you hear any background noise. I've got a puppy and a kitten below me making noise. Problem. I apologize if there's any dinging going on. But yeah, you know, we work very closely with both job seekers and employers to really handhold through this process. And I think that the big piece is that there needs to be this mutual understanding and a safe space. And so what we really tried to do is build a platform built on trust. And so job seekers could feel secure that as a job seeker on this platform, we know that these are employers who care or who get it, for lack of a, you know, better words. And so what we did was we built a platform that was this kind of two-way understanding. And so job seekers in our platform, they integrate directly, and they, as they sign up for the platform, they not only share their skill sets and their work history, but also their accommodation needs and what they need to best perform at work. And then we use that to actually match job seekers to roles at inclusive organizations, but jobs that are actually fit for your needs. And so we're not putting, you know, Hannah as a job seeker into a you know, in-person role if I need to work remotely, and ensuring that we're getting the right matches for the right people. And because of that, we've had so far, just since October, over 400 placements made through the platform, all of which with 100% retention rate, and because we're putting the right people in the right role. And I think that that's really what sets us apart. But, you know, from the employer perspective, we're a world-class talent marketplace, similar to, you know, most of these diverse talent job boards and marketplaces. We're able to access resources, attend events, and really connect with the community. But where we go a step further is we're partnering with these organizations to not only tell their story, but to really educate everyone within the organization. It can't be something that's just leadership is aware of or HR. This needs to be really a cross-departmental efforts, and people need, everyone in the organization needs to understand what it's like to be an ally to this community and how do we best support these people so they can't only get hired into our organization, but also included and embedded into our culture. And so we do a lot of education, training, support, and really making sure that we're creating partnerships with companies that are ready to roll their sleeves up and actually walk the walk, not just talk the talk.
Awesome. So do you find that, and this is a question that I'm asking on behalf of a potential job seeker who may be listening, saying, okay, this sounds amazing, but when you think about the Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA, and you think about kind of the inherent concern that those of us who have chronic illnesses or who have experienced some of the ramifications of battling a chronic illness, how does that then, from a job seeker, what is it that those employers understand as it relates to the ADA, as it relates to the capabilities of said individual, and how have employers who are part of your program really received this whole initiative that you're putting forth, right? So has this been something that you're seeing a lot of employers say, we absolutely want to do this. We want chronically capable people in our organization, because I imagine that there's probably a job seeker listening who's like, okay, but does it really work? Because it sounds so awesome.
It's a great question. And you know, I am working so hard to make sure that we're continuing to onboard more and more employers, because as you can imagine, building a marketplace, tons of job seekers are obviously signing up on a daily basis. And to find the employers that are actually, as we said, you know, walking the walk, it is a bit different than just partnering with any company out there. And so we heavily vet each company that is coming onto the platform, just as they're vetting us. And we don't allow every single employer to work with us. We're actually pretty exclusive about that. And so in terms of kind of, you know, how the employers are viewing this population, I think there's been some monumental reports, even in the last few years, about the benefits of hiring this population. One that comes to mind is a 2018 report by Accenture and Disability In. It's called the Disability Inclusion Advantage Report. And in this report, it talks about not only the financial benefits of hiring this population, you know, we see an uptick in net income and profits, but also the cultural benefits. So higher retention rates, higher employee productivity. And so this was a really monumental report because it went beyond just the government requirements of hiring this population. Because that's the other piece to this, that there is, you know, a federal incentive to hire from this group, unlike other diverse populations. Companies that are working with the federal government in any capacity, contract capacity, are required to try and strive for 7% disability representation in their workforce. And so that is, you know, an important incentive, because it tells companies that you can't just look past this population. You have to actually actively seek them out and make sure that your company is following the guidelines set forth by the ADA. The one thing, you know, I'd like to know is that the ADA is now 30 years old. And in 30 years, so much has changed just in the workplace as a whole. We saw just this past year, the coronavirus pandemic, of just how much the workforce changed in 1 year. Even in just the first few months, of suddenly everyone went remote and companies were forced to think about accessibility for all employees and think about how do we create accessible workplaces while people are working from home. And I think, you know, it actually tipped the balance towards inclusivity and forced us to really think about this more. And so, you know, to your question about employers wanting to work with us, I think in this past year, we've seen a huge uptick. And I think that a large part of that is definitely due to the pandemic. But I also think that the world is moving this way. We're starting to see companies like Google and Microsoft, Facebook, hiring people that are heads of disability inclusion They sit under global heads of talent acquisition, and their job is to literally include people with disabilities into the workforce. They're corporate level positions. To my knowledge, none of them are filled by people with illnesses and disabilities, but that's beside the point. But I think it's important that the world is moving this way. And so companies inevitably are going to have to keep up. Mm-hmm. And so that's why at Chronically Capable, we're trying to make inclusion accessible so that companies of all sizes can still be inclusive. You don't have to be Google or Microsoft in order to have an inclusive workplace. And that's where we're really trying to, you know, work with a range of companies from a range of industries that are all committed to hiring from this population. And to your last question, I know this is a mouthful, but your last question was regarding, you know, how can job seekers feel secure on this platform that they're going to be supported? One of the things that we're, you know, undergoing right now is we're going through HIPAA compliant, but HIPAA compliance to make sure that we're fully compliant. Right now, we do not share any health information with employers on the platform. It's simply a way to connect with employers that care. And so no information about your health status is shared. We actually don't even see that. It's all kind of locked away from us as even the owners of this job platform. But I think, you know, knowing that these companies are paying us to try to find and connect with you, these are companies that are committed to this and mm-hmm. really want to work with you and want to hire you. We have employers that are like, we want more applicants. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got 15 applicants for this job, like give us more. And so these are really, you know, the most cream of the crop employers that are really looking to hire this population. And so if you're a job seeker out there, I encourage you to come onto this platform, start applying. These employers are ready and they want you. And I think that's something that we need to do a better job of communicating sometimes.
So I'm going to take a step back for a second because you shared so much good information. One of the things you called out was these organizations kind of across the nation understanding their need for ahead of disability and inclusion. So we have just launched, I think that's what you said, Hannah. So we have just launched our Retain Services function. We hired Greg Fontas, who was the head of D&I at Postmates. So he's come over to lead our D&I initiative and to make sure that across the board, not only at Proactive Talent, do we have a workforce that is inclusive, that holistically understands what this means, but also when we are serving our clients, that that's something that's really built into the core of what they understand and what they adopt. And so it's not just driven by numbers or perhaps the percent of people that you have in this specific group of people. And so I would love to hear you kind of just share, because that's a new term to me, head of disability and inclusion. I'd love for you to share a bit what you think are the differences between that specific function as it relates to the broader umbrella of D&I. Because that is something that is built into what we assume should be a part of everyone's D&I strategy. But I wanted to just get your feedback on that.
It's a great question. And I think that that's such a new position. To be clear, these titles have only been being filled for the last year. These are our new positions that are existing at these organizations. And I think that the difference is that these folks are typically solely focused on the disability inclusion aspect and connecting a few departments. They're connecting talent acquisition, diversity and inclusion, and accessibility departments. So these are typically in larger, you know, large enterprise organizations that there's tons of applicants coming in each day. And these roles are typically, large enterprises that they're getting accessibility requests, accommodation needs requested in this process. And so their role is really to kind of sit as a bridge. And I think it's a really interesting position. I don't think it's something that most companies will be able to afford in the near future, but I think there's a lot of crossover and a lot of synergy between that role and then kind of D&I and talent acquisition. But the thing is, so when we're talking about 60% of our population, we're talking about more than half of people. And mm-hmm. so companies need to be thinking about this. And they need to be thinking about how do we make our job applications more accessible, more inclusive, and how do we really ask people and create a safe space for people to disclose to us. I think, you know, what's so alarming to me is that 60% of the population, as I said, lives with a chronic condition, 40% lives with two or more, yet only 3.2% of people with an illness or disability disclose this to their employer. So there's a huge gap. And so I think that the point of those roles was really to bridge that gap. But I think that that's something that technology can do, and that's something we're definitely trying to do through Credit Capable's innovations.
I suspected that you would answer that way. And it's really important, I think, when we think about TribePod being those individuals who are leaders in an organization, TA experts, HR leaders, really understanding that as our organization, as our world grows, as our country grows, as our organizations grow, our perspective and view on the way that we do work also has to grow in order for us to be the best that we can. So my next question to you would be this, Hannah. If you had to give some kind of identifying factors of a company that is doing disability and inclusion well, what does that look like in today's ever-evolving, ever-changing world? What are some of those key indicators where not only a job seeker can understand this person is committed, but also an organization can potentially self-check and say, not only are we talking about disability inclusion, but we're executing and we're doing it well?
Yeah, I think that that's a tough question because it's such an ongoing and learning process right now. I think there's companies that we can point to as examples of leaders, and obviously they're going to be the companies with million-dollar budgets because that's, you know, like a good example of this is Microsoft. And I know I've brought up Microsoft a few times, but Microsoft has a specific careers page to people with disabilities. On their careers page, they explicitly lay out how to ask for accommodations, what that process looks like. They provide job seeker resources, support, talk about Microsoft's various ERGs, employee resource groups, and really have created this branded page where job seekers can land and feel secure that this is an organization that's going to accept me. And I think, you know, further than that, as an employee at an organization, seeing that your company has this type of platform and it's talking about disability inclusion, that makes you more comfortable to disclose. So I think, you know, one of the things that we can look past, obviously employee resource groups are great when we see organizations having one specific to disabilities. I have rarely, if ever, seen an ERG focused on chronic illnesses, but I'd love to see that pop up one day. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, importantly is when we have companies with leadership, having leadership disclose. And I think there's been some really interesting reports just lately about this and about the lack of representation amongst leadership. But, you know, I'm a woman, and as, you know, a woman, I look up to female leaders who have talked about their experience of being a female leader. And that's something that makes me more comfortable talking about being a female. Mm-hmm. But as, you know, a chronically ill and, you know, disabled woman, I don't ever see people talking about what it's like to be in a leadership role with illness and disability. And I think that that is something that organizations, you know, if we can get people, encourage people to disclose, it'll make people more comfortable, both current employees and prospective employees, comfortable to disclose and knowing that this is an organization that I can not only get a job, but be promoted. I think another important thing to look at is an organization's benefits. Are they inclusive? You know, what are the paid time off policies look like and sick leave policies? Is the company thinking beyond just what we look like on the outside, but actually when we have these people and try to retain them? So, you know, is beer on tap and a gym membership the most attractive benefit for someone with a chronic illness? Probably not. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to really, you know, think beyond just hiring and attracting this talent, but how do we actually retain them and embed them into our culture? And that looks to me like programming benefits and representation.
I think you've given some really good indicators of what employers can do to make sure that they are at the forefront of leading our nation, our world, is really embracing those who are different, those who may be disabled or chronically ill, but who add value. And I know I keep saying that, but I think it's important to understand that. I would ask, Hannah, if you had a message to share with employers, if you could just take just a bit of time to share with employers about the chronically capable population, both from the perspective of being a female founder, but also being someone who's dealt with this in your own life, what would it be the one thing that you really think they need to get or understand about this population?
I hate to answer this so quickly, but I think, you know, a gut reaction is that hiring people with chronic illnesses and disabilities is an opportunity for businesses. Mm. It's not a chore. And, you know, this is something I've said before, but it's something that I think, you know, continues to ring true and needs to be talked about. You know, we don't see or hear people talking about being in leadership or in, you know, even managerial positions living with chronic illnesses and disabilities. I'm unfortunately taking that risk right now. I've just marked my career with, you know, now everyone on the internet can find out that I have an illness or disability, and I know it will continue to follow me. But I'm okay to take that risk because I think my story matters and it will make more people feel comfortable sharing theirs. But I think, you know, for businesses, it's important to understand that this population is capable and that, you know, as I mentioned, there's core cultural and economic benefits to hiring from this population. But further than that, it's, you know, hiring people with business, with illnesses and disabilities, it's good for people. And in turn, that's good for companies. And the more that we create inclusive and accessible workplaces, policies, practices, the more we're helping all employees to thrive. You know, this isn't just something that affects just the disability community. When we create an accessible workplace, now it's accessible for all of our employees, even those who may not be comfortable to disclose. And so I think, you know, seeing this as a business opportunity and not a chore is a really important mind frame that employers need to adopt. And, you know, this isn't a population that we need to feel, you know, this is not a charity case by supporting these people. This is a really big opportunity for your business to be, you know, have an edge up on your competitors. And so, yeah, I think that's the message I'd like for all employers to hear.
Wonderful. Here at Proactive Talent, I will join leadership team meetings with a heating pad on my neck. You know, I will come in and say, hey, I'm not feeling well, whatever, just dealing with the fallout of chemotherapy and everything that I've gone through. But I just want to highlight how although people like you and I, Hannah, have been vocal about our shared experience, I do want to highlight that you mentioned that we are just kind of scratching the surface on this being something that people really understand and feel comfortable with. So I just want to say I applaud your leadership and your tenacity in pushing forth this mission. And I know you have a job fair coming up for those who are chronically capable, who are looking for work. We know that the COVID climate has impacted all of our lives, just kind of across the board, perhaps those who are already disabled more than others. I always tell people, man, I was wearing a mask before it was cute, you know, going through chemotherapy. You know, I was already in that space. And so talk to us a little bit about what your what's happening with your job fair, and perhaps even before that, what's next on the horizon for chronically capable?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we're a year in here, just a bit over a year. And I think we've had so much success in this first 14, 15 months of building a community that lives and breathes chronically capable. And that, you know, most importantly to us is that these folks are getting hired and retained. And you know, our hope is really to keep growing that, you know, apply to hire ratio and keeping people with 100% retention rate. To me, that the most important thing here is that we get folks hired. In terms of kind of the programs and activities we have coming up, we just finished our initial cohort of our, you know, pilot mentorship program, which we launched with another organization based out of Hong Kong. It was amazing. We had 26 mentees matched with industry mentors. And with that, you know, we had almost quadruple the amount of applicants apply. And so hopefully we're going to be launching another cohort in the next couple of weeks here, getting those mentorship programs. That was a 4-week industry mentorship program, which we were super excited about because, again, we are getting leaders who may identify with an illness or disability matched with job seekers and creating this kind of open understanding and support where people felt more comfortable to disclose and ask for help. As you mentioned, we're hosting our first job fair on June 9th. We are so excited about this because this is the first ever job fair for chronically ill professionals. There have been some that have been specifically, you know, spoken to the disability community, but for this one, you know, we welcome all, but we're, you know, our hopes are to really bring visibility to the chronic illness and invisible disability community. We've got three participating organizations, which is Hearst Corporation, Live Ops, and Keep Truckin'. We are so excited. The hiring managers will be meeting with our community for about 3 hours. They're going to be three 1 hour sessions. And we're hoping to do this more and more. We had such a positive response from both the employer community and job seeker community, and people want more of these. So, you know, if you're an employer looking to meet with our community and get access to this community, this is a great entry point for you to get to know us. We'll be hosting more and more job fairs in the coming months. So I encourage you to reach out. And as a job seeker, if you're looking for a job, these employers are paying us to come to this job fair. They have specific roles set aside that they are promoting to our community. And this is an opportunity to get to meet one, you know, face to face virtually with the hiring managers at some pretty amazing organizations. And so this is an opportunity for you to step up and apply and to feel comfortable that this is a space that was created for you. So that's all I've got on the job fair front, but come check us out. And we've got a lot of exciting initiatives to come. I think, you know, each month it's something new. This month we've got Pride Month. Next month we've got ADA anniversary. I think it's 31 years now. October, National Disability Employment Awareness Month. So we'll be continuing to have, you know, new initiatives pop up each month as the days go on.
So if there is an employer or business leader listening and they're thinking, Hannah, you're onto something here, tell us the best way for those leaders to get in touch with you and perhaps what kind of potential partners you're looking with. I'm super excited to see what synergies we'll have at Proactive Talent, just launching our D&I retain function and things of that nature. But what's the best way for an employer to connect with you? And then the second piece, just one more time, is what kind of partnerships are you looking for outside of employers looking for job seekers?
Every and all. We are constantly looking for benefits partnerships, you know, different opportunities. One, you know, we're announcing a partnership with an organization soon that's in the tech boot camp space. We just finished just signed our contract for a partnership with an organization called Abler 360. We're going to be doing accessibility audits. So always looking for new partnerships and ways that we can enhance organizations and make them more, you know, the most inclusive possible. So both job seeker and employer facing partnerships, we're always looking to make those. In terms of getting in contact with us, I think the best way would be to, you know, fill out our inquiry form on our website. Our website is www.capable.work, W-O-R-K. I hope you'll join us there. Our email should be on the website as well. And there's a form where you can submit some more information that we can share with our sales team as well. So we hope you'll join us. Our community of job seekers is growing organically by hundreds of people every single day. And so we've now got over 45,000 job seekers on this platform looking for work. So if you are an employer, I encourage you to come reach out to us and start getting your roles in front of our amazingly capable community.
And where can our listeners find you guys on social?
Yeah, at Chronically Capable is our handle. So come join us. We've got a booming Instagram community. Twitter, we're Chronic Capable. So we're missing the Chronically. Facebook, Chronically Capable. LinkedIn as well. Come join us on social. One of the things I should have mentioned before is that Club Capable is our community platform for job seekers where you can network, connect, meet with others who are sharing, you know, similar experiences to you. It's completely free for job seekers or employees alike. So come join us there. As you created a profile on our website, you'll be able to access Club Capable. And that's a really wonderful opportunity. It's for those of you who are familiar with a Facebook group and Slack, it's a bit of a mix of the two. And it's a really wonderful safe space to find and connect with other people living with illnesses and disabilities. So I encourage you to come join us there as well.
Thank you so much, Hannah. It has been an absolute pleasure. I know our listeners have just thoroughly enjoyed what you have shared today. So I just want to say thank you for coming on. I wish you continued success.
Thank you so much for having me. And I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day.
Awesome. Thanks, Hannah.
Well, I thought that would be inspirational, and it was inspirational.
It was inspirational squared. Hannah just effortlessly talks about these issues, and she is just really on the forefront of changing the landscape of how we do work for those with disabilities. That was so good, Jim.
Yeah, she was very knowledgeable. I felt, I guess I keep saying the word inspired. Either she just inspired me that much, or I need a new thesaurus to come up with no words to describe her.
You know what, though? You know what, though? You know what I liked about Hannah? Because I think some people just focus on inspiration, but I think she marries the inspiration and transformation pieces. Because I think after listening to her, if you are still the same, if you still have the same belief as a CEO, a HR leader, TA leader, and you are not inspired to take action, I don't think you were listening really, Jim. That's not...
True. You know what? I think I'm seeing another added opportunity here. I'm thinking I could put her picture on a t-shirt with the caption inspiration. And I'm curious to find out what our listeners think. Do you think that'd be a great t-shirt idea? Hannah Olson on a t-shirt with the caption inspiration? Let us know. You can reach us by emailing us at tribepod, that's TRIBEPOD at proactivetalent.com. And if you want to order in advance, $1,000 a t-shirt.
Right? I want mine first.
Yeah. You let me know that too. Well, that's all we got. The clock is ticking. Any additional comments from you, Miss Brittany?
I'm trying to think what my favorite part was, but to be honest, all of the parts were my favorite part.
It's all good.
So get in line for your t-shirt, but check her out as well so you can be a partner in changing the world for good.
Cool. I'm going to warm up my silk screen right now.